Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Psalm 148 is quite possibly one of the most joyful psalms there is. We spoke it responsively earlier in our readings. We sang some of it in our hymn, Earth and All Stars, just now. And there's real joy in there. We like joy. I don't think there's anyone who doesn't. In fact, we'll work in order to have that joy. We'll put in the hours that it takes. Doesn't matter. If we get that joy, we're right there. After all, it is one of our favorite feelings. However, there's another feeling that we also hear about today. One that we don't like. One that we would avoid at all costs. One that we wish we could be rid of forever. Now, this one makes us work hard as well. Work as much as it takes in order to not have it. And that feeling is sorrow. We might call it the exact opposite of joy. Because as high as joy takes us, sorrow brings us just as low. Jesus talks about both of them in our gospel lesson. We hear that Jesus is talking about joy and sorrow, and we hope that Jesus will say that we will feel joy and not sorrow. We hope that Jesus will say we'll never have to worry about sorrow again, and that a Christian life will be all joy all the time. We want to hear that, but that's not exactly what Jesus says. Instead, Jesus tells his disciples, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful." Oh, come on, Jesus. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to go through that. In fact, when we do experience it, there's part of us that thinks that the Lord couldn't possibly be there in our sorrow. So we do everything that we can to stop it, everything in our power to short-circuit that process. We won't go there. Don't tell me about my sin. Don't tell me about my suffering. Don't tell me about my grief. I'm not going to listen. Only tell me the good stuff. Only tell me about the joy. Theologians have been wrestling with this tendency in humanity for a long time. Luther called this struggle the difference between the theology of glory and the theology of the cross. We hear those terms and it sounds like, oh, well, that theology stuff, that's what you're here for, Pastor. That's not my department. Well, I've got news for you. Theology is for everyone. You can't say to yourself, I'm no theologian, because that would be wrong. Everyone is a theologian. Because everybody thinks something about God. The question isn't how good of a theologian are you, but what is your theology? And you do have one. Everyone has one. Question is it the same one that Scripture speaks? And that goes for pastors as well as laity. You see, the old Adam in us, our broken, sinful hearts, they want a theology of glory. They want a theology that says the Lord is only found when things are happy, only found when things are going according to our plans. A theology of glory looks to the pleasant things of this world and thinks that such things are signs of God's favor. It doesn't have to be power or riches. People who have those would give them up, give all of it up, to have joy. We want a joy without sorrow. When our old broken hearts get that, they think, well, now that I have that, then God, whoever He is, must be with me. Theology of glory states that God loves me most when I am joyful and loves me the least when I am sorrowful. And it's what everyone believes until they hear something better. Well, the theology of the cross is better. Though it doesn't seem like it at first. Because the theology of the cross starts not in joy, but starts in sorrow. It starts in pain and grief and anguish and death. The theology of the cross begins with suffering. And there's nothing in the world we fear more. Most people I run into aren't afraid of death, but we are afraid of dying. The whole process looks like the absolute worst. And it is. Which is why everyone hopes that we die peacefully in our sleep, without any pain at all. But few actually do. As a pastor, I've been there when people are dying, and it's the most helpless feeling in the world. Because I can't make it stop. But I can tell you this. Jesus is there. In a far more real way than a day of golf, or a beautiful sunrise, or playful kittens, or anything else that makes you smile. Jesus is there. He's there while we die because He dies with us and dies for us. The theology of the cross calls a thing what it is. It doesn't pretend. It doesn't ignore. It doesn't do away with sorrow in order to get back the joy. It speaks the truth. Truth that this world does hurt like hell. And it speaks the truth that Jesus has done something about it. Because there's nothing more joyful in all the world than to have your sorrow overcome. Your sin, which shackled and enslaved you, has been paid for by Jesus, and you have been set free. Death, which not only makes you suffer before it takes you, but makes your loved ones suffer as well, it has been destroyed. Satan, who loves to lead you into sorrow again and again, has been judged and condemned. All these things and your own corrupted nature were responsible for every bit of grief and pain and tears you've ever experienced, and Jesus has taken them all away. You are forgiven, brought to life, set free. And that work of Christ brings more joy than anything else in the world. Because this is what Jesus Himself did. There is Jesus suffering, going to the cross. There is pain, Jesus being nailed to that tree. There is grief when Jesus dies. There is sorrow when Jesus is buried. It seems to the disciples as if nothing can be done. But then Jesus turns it all to joy with his resurrection, not by making his death not happen, but by reversing it, by turning it around and turning death to life. This is thrilling. This is a joy that lasts. This is why Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy." When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish. For joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also, you have sorrow now. But I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take that joy away from you. Joy without sorrow can be shallow. The joy that comes from sorrows overturned is deep beyond understanding. The joy that comes from the death and resurrection of Jesus is the most amazing of all. And it doesn't come without the disciples enduring the very worst of what dying inflicts. Their joy, which sprung from the depth of that sorrow, is joyful because there's nothing left to fear. They even counted such things that would bring them sorrow every day. They counted it all joy. Torture, imprisonment. They counted it all joy because of what Jesus did. Yeah, today may not be great, but I know what Jesus has already accomplished for me, and now I have something to rejoice over. Not because we like those things that cause pain, but because Jesus has already brought them and us through worse. And the victory has been won already. That's the context in which we sing. That's the marvelous thing that Jesus has done. That's why we sing in Psalm 148, "Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people." Praise for all his saints, for all the people of Israel who are near him. Praise the Lord. Let the whole world rejoice and sing because Jesus raised the horn of victory over sin, death, and the devil. He has conquered our sorrows, and he is there for us when we suffer. Because it's at his cross, the most miserable place on earth, that he has won for us life, forgiveness, and salvation. He has already turned the greatest of sorrows into the greatest of joys. Thanks be to God. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus always. Amen.